Tonight I would like to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we'll be looking at from verse 1 to verse 13. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Then the man who had been healed did not know. Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This is the word of God. And let us pray again. Oh Lord, we do ask you to help us in understanding your word. And your word is life. It is so important to us for our instruction and for our growth and for our nourishment. And Lord, your word is truth. And it is through your word that we... That we have come to know so much more and been able to grow in our Christian life. And we know that without you and without your instructions, we would be so lost and we would be so easily be given into other lies and temptations and things that would distract us and take us off the path of the truth. And Lord, we would pray for those in Christ Church and in New Zealand, Lord, and the many, many Muslim families and who are grieving tonight. And they are grieving, they are weeping, they are turning to their God Allah. We pray for them, Lord, that they are in a very sad place and they are in a very dark place. That they do not know the true God to turn to for their comforts. And while when we are in trouble and when we have our problems, we know that we can address these things to you. But Lord, you are a God of miracle. You are a God who can do impossible things. And I pray, Lord, that you will too minister to comfort these who yet to know you. And I pray, Lord, that through your mighty power, and we know, Lord, that many Muslim people, they do turn to you. They do come to faith in you. And I pray, Lord, that will be that will be happening to many more throughout this world and throughout the land, and even in this place, we pray. And now we turn to your word, and I pray, Lord, that you will grant us the understanding that we may share to whoever we come across, whatever faith they are, whatever situation that they are, whatever belief that they have. And I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have shown us your truth, and your truth live in us through your Holy Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Right, so we now turn to John chapter 5, and we are now at a place where Jesus came across an invalid man, a man in need, a man who has a specific need that Jesus was to address. The man to whom Jesus came across here, he had a need, the need to be healed. In Jesus' day, there were a lot of sick people. National Health Service hadn't been invented yet, and then the medical science was probably at its very infancy, if it was in existence at all. So what did people used to rely on? They would have to rely more, mainly, on the natural ability of the body to recover from the illness and injuries. And God, He has designed our human body in such a miraculous way, doesn't it? That if you have a headache, you know that there's a headache and there's something wrong. And after some rest, your body kind of like keep the balance itself and produce, I don't know, more white cells or more red cells to help you even send an out. Oh, Graham is sitting there, but they're not talking about medical things. It's like there is an army of doctors and paramedics inside our body that will go to different parts of our body where it is needed. And people in those days, they very much rely on that. But the lack of treatment. For the lack of treatment and the more conditions that people face probably would be classed as life-changing. Unlike this man whom Jesus addressed in this place. And there was the lack of welfare in those days and the lack of treatment, so life-changing conditions could easily mean life-shortening conditions. So this is the situation of this man. He needed help, he needed healing. In our days, in the advanced 21st century, where we know everything, we've got everything, we can do everything, we have the best medical science, don't we? We have the best medicine, we have the best treatments that is available. We are so advanced in medical science, it means doctors, they can operate on bodies and on people and help them to get better. And whether they have to make big cuts to put everything apart and take a good look at them, or sometimes they just take a little hole and do amazing things just through that little hole. And what was wrong with Steph at the side of her cheek, and she could go for an MRI, and the doctor would be able to look at the picture and see what's inside, what's behind there, without having a surgery to discover. We do amazing things with our medical science, don't we? And nowadays, even the loss of limbs and some body parts, it is not as life-changing as it used to be. Because now there are artificial replacement parts. There's a cousin of mine, she lives in Hong Kong, and she's only a teenager, and she has medical parts placed in her spine. And because she was born with a deformed spine, And what these metal parts do was, the doctors, well, after they've been implanted, the doctors can use magnets to adjust them, little by little, to straighten her spine. And also, as she grows older and as she grows taller, they use the magnets again to stretch out a bit so that the metal implant would grow with her. Isn't that wonderful? We are in the age of science and wonder. Science and wonder. But then I would like to do a reality check as well. With so much amazing advanced technology and science in the 21st century, would you agree that we have no more sickness, no more disability, and no more health problems? No? No one agrees with that? Or do you think at least we are very close to that condition, very close to that situation? Well, we are, but not for but not for that reason. We are close to the days when there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more disabilities, no more health problem. But it's for a different reason, not because of medical science. It's really to do with the last few chapters of the book of Revelations. There are some medical needs these days they were unheard of when I was young, let alone back in the first century. There are people who are sick and require treatment because they are overweight, and some because they are underweight. Some people have treatment because their nose are not straight, too high or too low. Some are treated for having too many wrinkles. Can't allow that, can't we? Some have treatments because their body parts are in the proportions that they don't like, and that they want thick lips, and they want rounder eyes, and different things, and whatever pleases their eyes. Some undergone surgeries to become to be looking like Barbie doll. And there's a Ken doll as well, after Ken. There are also some who want something growing inside them to be removed, and I'm not talking about tumor. I'm talking about real flesh and blood babies. And they became a burden to some people. It became an illness. And it make the person a sick person because of that. How odd. There are men who want treatments to become women, and there are women who want treatment to become men. 21st century has no less medical needs, but more. And there are more complex needs, including, yes, many of these things I mentioned. They must be preventable, if not avoidable, or outright unnecessary problems. But the need of this man is something that is very primary, very original, very straightforward. He needs to be able to walk. He needs healing. The man hasn't been named, but we know that he's been invalid for 38 years. John described the invalids here as those who are blind, lame, and paralyzed on this occasion. The people who gathered at this place, they gathered there for specific reasons, and these whom John mentions, they are invalids. They have some illness. The term in Greek for invalid here, it simply means someone who's sick or is ill. It doesn't specifically mean they are disabled in any way, but simply someone who is sick or ill. And the word for blindness here, the Greek term for blind, it means opaque or smoky. So it is something that obscures your vision. Lame here, it means someone who's maimed. So it would be someone who has lost a limb or something like that. But paralyzed is the word which comes from dryness, becoming dried. It is as if describing a body that has been dried up of its natural juice in the body. So it's shrunken, it's shriveled, and it's withered. So maybe it is a very weak limb. And what this man has, his condition can be any of these, but whatever it is something that prevents him to be able to walk, because he relies on other people to carry him around in his bed. Probably a stretcher, really. A kind of stretcher. He is in need of help and support. So although it wasn't disclosed to us what kind of illness it was, he's bedridden. That's what we know. He needed help to be carried around, and And because of that, I will also say that he would also need help with other practical things in his daily life, shopping, cooking, and other things that he cannot do himself, that he cannot seem to attend himself. He is in a lot of need because he cannot walk. So naturally, his top priority in his life at this point of time is to become well and be able to walk again, so that he will be no longer bedridden. So there we are, we've got someone who is in need. And then we've got Jesus, who is the healer. He's the one who's going to heal him. Jesus did not have to ask the man, but he knew how long he had been there. He knew that he'd been there for a long time. He did not have to ask the man what kind of illness he had. He did not need to take him away for an MRI scan. He did not even need to check his pulse. He knew what's wrong with him. He did not have to ask the man, but he knew more than anything in the whole world, the man wants to be healed. He didn't have to ask him, but he asked him. Jesus asked him if he wants to be healed, so that the man could confirm his priority. The man himself, at that point, when he was asked, he would confirm what his priority needs are to Jesus. You would notice that during the reading, there was 1.5 verse been missed out of the reading. And the reason for that is also interesting, because I'm following the ESV, and they have missed out those first and a half of between partway through half verse 3, and it missed off half verse 4. And according to what it says in my Bible, some manuscripts, they have missed them out. And according to the older manuscripts, those verse and a half do not exist. And they were added on later on, so they are found in the later manuscripts. So the way I see it was that the scribes, in the later years, when they were copying out the Gospel of John, and they saw it fit to put in some explanation. They saw it fit to put in the explanation of why these people were gathering around that pool at all. Because the missing verse and a half, it reads, they were waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. So that was a part that wasn't in the older manuscripts, but appeared in the later ones. We'll come back to this in a minute. But what this man needed, he needed healing, yes. For him, that is his hope. That is his hope, to be healed. And the man, he needed to have a hope that one day he will be able to walk again. But with the absence of the medical help, he pinned his hope on being the first to get into the water under certain conditions. The conditions that is faced by this man, it's been hindering him for most of his life. The only hope which he held on to, and I deduced from this missing verse from my Bible, which I have to read in the smaller print, is that he had to hinge his hope unto nothing but superstition. The superstition or the hearsay that when the water gets stirred, when there is a movement of water, there is an angel of God who came out to stir the water, and whoever got in there first would be healed. And strangely enough, Judaism of the day allowed that. None of the Jewish teachers were out there to deny it. And they allowed these people to gather around there and to fight their way through whenever it may be an underground spring or something that now and again there's a gush of water that comes out or the wind that moves the water. That is the hope that this man and the others clinged on to. It is a false hope. It is a false hope. It explains why they were there. And it was a false hope that brings him again and again and again back to the pool. Remembering this man cannot walk, he relies on people carrying him. He kept trying to be first to get in the water, but his disability stopped him from doing that every single time. He said to Jesus, every time the water moved and I tried to get there, someone else would get in there before me. And he didn't have a friend or family or relative, anyone who would help him to achieve his goal. Perhaps they knew that it wouldn't work. Perhaps other people could see that it doesn't work. And therefore they didn't want to do it for him. But he clings onto that hope. That is the only hope he has. The only thing that he could try to do to bring himself out of his situation, out of his condition. So he stubbornly insisted to be back there, waiting for his opportunity again and again and again. All because it was the only hope that he had left. I want to do a bit of imagination with you. We are deviating from the scripture here, but on the same story, just to come to a point that I want to bring out. Can you imagine one day later? Can you imagine if Jesus had never turned up, and one day later, the man, after he'd been left by the side of the pool and he had a sleep and he opened his eyes and he woke up and he suddenly find himself being the only person there. He was the only person at the side of the pool when he woke up, and there was nobody else there. And he looked at the pool and he thought, it's moving. There's some movements in the water. I can see something bubbling up in there. It's starting to move. This pool is moving. The angel of God is here. If I get into that water, I will be healed. So excitedly, he crawled with all his might as quickly as he could and as quietly as he could, so that no one could hear him and so that no one could notice what he was doing, in case they noticed and they would get in there before him again. So he had to crawl with all his might as quickly as he could manage. He crawled and he crawled and he crawled and he made it into the pool. He made it into there and he thought to himself, this is it, I've made it. This is it, I've done it at last. I've waited all these years. 30, 40, 50 years, no matter how long. At last, I've done it. He got himself in the pool and he was the only one there. He was the first one there. And he floated in the line in there. He praising God, and the angel of God healed me. The man thought he could just get up and walk out of that pool. But no, his legs aren't doing it. His legs aren't doing it. He thought, what's wrong? What's wrong? What have I done wrong? Why am I not healed? Not only that, he couldn't stand up, he nearly got himself drowned, and he barely made himself out of the pool alive, choking and coughing and crying, because his only hope, his one and only hope, it didn't work. It didn't work for him. Would that be a good ending? Certainly not. There's an author by the name of Jeanette Clift George. Have you ever heard of her? Have you ever seen the film The Hiding Place, about the story of Corrie Ten Boom? She's the actress in there. Okay. Jeanette Clift George, she said, the greatest tragedy in life is not in failing to get what you go after. The greatest tragedy in life is in getting it and finding out it wasn't worth the trouble. What do you aim for in your life? And what would you do to achieve it? What measure would you take, and how long would you keep on doing it or waiting for it to carry it out? Yes, the story didn't go that way, very fortunately for this man. But that is where false hopes would take us. That is where false hopes would take anyone. People in our days, they are in the same situation as this man. I'm not saying being lame or being invalid. I'm saying living in the false hope. A strike of luck they are waiting for. The inheriting a family fortune they are waiting for. Some investment money. Some return of the investments, or some extra income. Or some put their hope on changing their lives and going to live in a certain area or in a different location. I'm fed up of living in this place. I need to live over there. Some place then hope on getting their bodies into great physique and getting to their ideal weight. Diet plans, they're big money makers. And some go to the extent of getting rid of the baby they're carrying so that they can make a new start. People hinge their hope on different things, and they are all false hopes. It is true that this is not the way that the story ends, but notice that the man was not the only man in that place waiting for a miracle. There were others. There were others. Verse 3, it says that there was a multitude of invalids. What are they going to do? Had Jesus forgotten them? Jesus hadn't stepped in to heal them as well. The man picked up his bed and walked, but the rest of them were still there. They were still held there by their superstition. They were still held there by the false hope. What are they going to do? Jesus healed the one man that day by saying to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. You know, Jesus could have healed every single person in that place on that day without doing anything else but just to say a single word of command. Jesus could have done that. In Genesis, in the account of creation, when God created animals, He said, let the earth brought forth living creatures according to their kinds. He didn't say, dogs, cats, elephants, giraffes, and monkeys. And he didn't have to do that one by one. He just said, he just commanded those words, let the earth brought forth living creatures. However, he did create man separately. He did create man separately after all the animals, because we are not animals. That was what my school used to teach me, and it took me years after I became Christian to get that out of my head, that I am not an animal. False hope. Medical science can do everything. One day we'll be immortal. Is that possible? Is it just a false hope? The Bible talks about hope a lot. And Ian this morning, and from Romans, wrote from Romans 5, he pointed out, no assurance, there is no peace. If I may add to that, no assurance, no peace, and no hope. Assurance followed by peace and hope is what people need. Not the false hopes. We've been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ, and that gives us hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, such as this man here says, superstitions of the angel of God healing people by getting into the water first. The futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And that's why. It is in turning to Jesus. It is in accepting the work of Christ on the cross for us. It is accepting, realizing, recognizing that work on the cross, the death of Christ, was from one described here, a lamb without blemish or spot, as a living sacrifice for our sins. The only way that we can have a certain hope that our sins can be washed away, that our sins will not come back to us and haunting us and taking us down to hell, through believing in God, believing in Christ and believing in God, that our faith and our hope are in God. This is what this man needs. He doesn't need He needs more than healing. He needs more than healing. But the rest of it will be the subject for next time when I come back. And we'll be looking at hope fulfilled, but life unfulfilled. Hope fulfilled, but life unfulfilled. But bearing in mind, we a lot of people, they do need this message of God being their hope. A lot of people out there, they do need this. And it is so sad that they are turning away from this. And we have to pray for them, and we have to witness to them. And like Ian said, it saddens us. If it saddens him to not to be able to go out to the open air, even for just once a month, yes, because it is a work that is so important. It is the ministry of salvation. It is the ministry of rescuing people, not just from physical ailments, but spiritually. They need something far, far more substantial, and only Christ can give them. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we can't help but be humbled that you are God with such great power, and you are God with the word of command, and yet you came to die on the cross, and you came to give up your own life, you came to give up yourself, to give life to those who accused you, to give life to those who rejected you, give life to those who don't want anything to be bothered with you, who don't want anything to do with you. And Lord, we live in a place, and we live amongst people of such, and they don't know that they are invalid in a spiritual way. They don't know that their greatest need can be met by Christ, can be met by you. And I pray, Lord, that no more will they cling on to the false hope that lead them to disappointment. But let them discover, Lord, let them discover the joy in knowing Christ, the joy in receiving the salvation of God, so that they will not be disappointed. That is the only thing, the only way that they will not and never be disappointed. Mobilize the church, Lord, and motivate your church, we pray. Each one of us, Lord. And it doesn't cost us anything, but it has cost you everything, Lord. So be with your church as we reach out, and be with your church as we speak out. And help us, Lord, and help these folks, we pray. Amen. Amen.